Did you think you'd be hearing a holiday ad this early? Beat the rush with Minted, your destination for unique holiday cards, gifts, and seasonal decor from independent artists. Use code PODCAST for 20% off your order.
Hello and welcome back to TY Takeover. For the next few minutes, a few of us from the music crew will be discussing the obstacles that musicians face when creating original music and the workings of copyright. Although there are multiple examples that we could tell you about copyright scandals, here's one that got us thinking the most.
And I can't sweep you off of your feet. Will your mouth still remember the taste of my love? Will your eyes still smile from your cheeks? Darling, I've been really trying, baby. Trying to hold back this feeling for so long.
I'm sure you can hear the similarities.
Coming up, we'll be interviewing John from Today FM.
Hi John, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome, Alana. More than welcome.
I want to talk about sampling. Do you be able to explain the differences between sampling and then distributed copyright claims?
Okay, so sampling is where you take an existing piece of music, be it a drum beat or a musical passage, and you incorporate it into a different piece of music. So an already existing piece of music that you use in order to enhance or to create another piece of music. Now, all pieces of music are copyrighted, which means that the person who wrote it is to be paid whenever it's played or distributed. So when a song sample is requested, it should go through the music publisher. So whoever owns the copyright of that music should give their permission for their little riff or drum beat or whatever it might be to be used for a new piece of music. That's how it should happen.
So that's like IMRO then?
That would be IMRO for Ireland. So okay. Say for example you wanted to use a bit of Hozier's Take Me to Church in a new song, then you would contact the music publisher, who in Ireland is IMRO for collecting royalties, and ask them, can you use a piece of this song in your song? And then they approve it or otherwise.
So what are your thoughts on sampling?
Some samples are used very, very well. For example, one of the famous ones is the Rolling Stones and The Last Time for Bittersweet Symphony.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
That wasn't the original version of The Last Time. It was an orchestral version on an album created by the Rolling Stones' then manager, Andrew Lou Goldham. And so they did an orchestral version of The Last Time, which had the famous sort of string riff that was the backbone of Bittersweet Symphony. Now, what happened there was the Verve, who recorded the song, didn't get clearance for use of that sample. So they were taken to court, and all future royalties for that entire song then went to Andrew Lou Goldham and the publishing house. But in a twist, a few years ago, Mick Jagger and Keith Richards, who wrote The Last Time for the Rolling Stones, bequeathed their royalties for Bittersweet Symphony back to the band, back to the Verve. Okay. So they now actually make money from it.
So the Verve are now making money?
Are now making money from Bittersweet Symphony thanks to Jagger and Richards.
So then for a while they weren't making any
money? Not a penny. Nothing.
But even though it was their own lyrics and everything?
Yes, it all went to Andrew Lou Goldham. If I'm correct, but certainly a large portion of it did.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So if a producer like wants to sample a song, how do they go about it? Do they contact IMRO?
Well, they would contact, I mean, IMRO have a part to play in that they collect the royalties for all pieces of music in Ireland.
Yeah.
But if a producer, say, in LA wants to use a bit of a track by, say, Dua Lipa, they will contact Dua Lipa's publishing company.
And that's like her own.
That would be like, for example, Dua Lipa Music Limited. So they would contact them and say, we want to use this, can we? And they would give their approval for a fee. Obviously, there'd be a fee to use the sample. Now, it could be a flat fee, or it could be a percentage of royalties of the resultant track. So they would say yes or no. Famously, ABBA rarely allow their songs to be sampled. But what they did allow was eventually they allowed Madonna for Hung Up to use the main riff of Gimme Gimme Gimme. Now, yeah. Madonna, I believe, had to handwrite a letter to Benny and Bjorn from ABBA asking to use.
Wow.
And they granted it because they liked how it was used in the song. But they famously very, very rarely allow samples. They did for the Fugees as well, for a song on the soundtrack to the movie Ali. They allowed a sample there, which the Fugees used very well in the track as well. So I suppose part of it depends on whether or not they want their music to be sampled, and second of all, you know, how the music is being used in the song.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're passing it off as a different song and it's practically the same song, I wouldn't say it annoys me, but it certainly would, you know, my ears would prick up when I hear it.
Yeah.
Now, there are lots of examples of this in, and most of them involve a musician called Tom Petty. I don't know if you know Tom Petty. Anyway, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers had a song in 1978 called American Girl.
Okay.
And in 2001, a band called The Strokes, they have a song called Last Night. And the start of Last Night and the start of American Girl are practically the same.
Wow, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Tom Petty was asked about this and he said, look, everybody borrows from everyone else, so it's fine.
Yeah.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers had a song called Danny California,
okay,
which sounded like Mary Jane's Last Dance by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. But Tom Petty didn't have an issue with that either. Sam Smith, who you know, had a song called Stay With Me, which sounded exactly like Tom Petty's song I Won't Back Down.
Crazy.
Right?
Yeah.
This one was sorted out between the management. So Tom Petty never really had an issue, but, you know, he would never take anybody to court for it. They'd sort of, he'd go, look, it doesn't matter.
Because there's that whole thing, I think, that there's only so many notes out there. Like, I feel like it's kind of bound to happen.
Yeah, I mean, you've got what? In a standard scale, you've got 13 notes.
Is it that?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. On a piano scale, you've got 13 notes. There's only a certain number of chords.
Yeah.
There's only a certain number of permutations of those chords. So stuff is bound to end up sounding like other stuff. Now, the difference is, you know, and Ed Sheeran, of course, as you know, was taken to court. And what they were trying to figure out was it more than coincidental?
Because I was listening to that this morning.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, I better, like, look into it.
Yeah.
And, like, yes, the drum beat was the same.
Yeah.
But the whole lyrics were different. And then I was kind of like, oh, it is going to bound to happen, like, the difference in, like, the era when it came out, do you know what I mean?
Like, I mean, sometimes bands do what they call a tribute to, like, other artists. There's a band called ABC from the 80s, and they recorded a song called When Smokey Sings, right? Smokey being Smokey Robinson, who is a huge Motown star.
Okay.
And When Smokey Sings had a Motown beat and basically sounded like a lot of Stevie or a lot of Smokey Robinson's songs put together. Now, they said it was a tribute to him, but he still wasn't happy and it ended up having to be sorted
what
out.
What do you mean by tribute? Do you
well, they said, you know, this song, yes, it sounds very like Smokey Robinson, but that's because we're singing about how great he was.
Yeah.
And we're using a lot of his musical touch points.
Did he get given royalties for that?
I'm not sure if he got a co-songwriting credit on it, but it was definitely, he definitely wasn't happy about it, and he did contact his lawyers about it. So I'm not sure how it worked out. But then there's another band called Elastica in 1995 who had a song called Waking Up, which was a complete lift of a song called No More Heroes by The Stranglers. And in that scenario, The Stranglers ended up getting a co-writing credit. And the most recent example is a song by U2 called Atomic City.
Wow.
It's their current single.
Yeah.
And Debbie Harry gets a co-write on that. Debbie Harry is the lead singer of Blondie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's because the chorus of Atomic City is the same chorus as Call Me by Blondie. So instead of getting sued, U2 said, well, we'll give her a co-writing credit so she'll get royalties.
Oh, I see what you mean now.
Yeah,
yeah, I get it. So I think there's also kind of a thing of, like, you're getting inspiration from this artist and disputed copyright. So you think you need to, like, give them leniency towards that? Is that what a lot of bands and artists think
do? It all depends on the artist or their publisher's take on what has been done. So, for example, Tom Petty was famously non-litigious. He would do everything to avoid bringing it to court because he just thought that wasn't cool. And that's because Tom Petty was incredibly cool. Other artists will... I mean, somebody at the moment is suing Mariah Carey.
Yeah, I heard about that.
So other people will not take advantage, but if they hear what they believe to be something nefarious with the use of their music, they will engage their lawyers pretty quickly. But it there's no one hard and fast rule. It all depends on how similar the song is, what, you know, as we said, if it could be deemed coincidental, or if it was just a direct lift of a passage of music.